Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We're chatting with Ed Moya, Senior Market Analyst over at Oanda. Now, Ed, we usually talk on Mondays, but due to scheduling conflicts, we pushed it back to today, and I'm glad we did because it gave us a chance to recap this retail sales number out of the U.S. that was released this morning. Overall, it was a, I guess, fairly solid retail sales report, especially in the face of a lot of people saying that the consumer is getting tapped out here, and we are going to see them broadly pull back on purchases, quite frankly, just run out of money, or from the other side, just slow down some of the credit card debt that they are building. This last data point, though, again, broadly solid, which is then carrying over, I think, to a lot of expectations on what the Fed is going to do. Overall, though, the markets are bouncing back again today, and we are seeing some of the sectors like the NASDAQ and the Russell 2000, the small caps, they're actually leading the way to the upside. NASDAQ's up 2%, Russell 2000's up 2.5%, volatility is dropping. What's your takeaway from that retail sales number and the overall health of the consumer?
Well, right now it looks like the retail consumer is holding up. I think you're seeing spending remain supported. And right now there's, I think, optimism here that you're not seeing that breakdown in spending. Some of that could be attributed to more purchases on credit cards. But I think what we're seeing is that I think there's been so much concern of slower economic growth that a lot of people were anticipating that these recent price increases were really going to start to be reflected in this data, and that hasn't happened. So right now you're probably going to say that this paves the way for the Fed to maintain their course, and if they need to become a little bit more aggressive in fighting inflation, they could be. And I think that's why we're, in addition to, the broad risk rally, the move in treasuries is a little surprising here. You're starting to see that, U.S. treasuries here are once again, the 10-year knocking on 3%. And this is going to be, a very market that remains focused on inflation. And I think if inflation continues to remain, elevated here, you'll probably see that there will be, I think, growing expectations that once we get to Jackson Hole, that the Fed will likely have to maintain this pace of half point rate increases and possibly higher. But I think still half point is the base case, and there's still good reason to be optimistic for the economy. I think lower income families are definitely starting to show they're feeling the pain, and I think that you're right now going to see that this market is still, I think, fairly supported here by a mostly strong consumer, I think when you break down where the spending's going, though, a lot of it is, I think, going to continue to go on items that food, energy, and I think some of the more discretionary spending is probably going to start to take a hit. But right now there's still optimism here for the economy. And if the U.S. consumer can bail out the stock market, it looks like that might be the trade right now. But everyone's focused on S&P 500 4000. That seems to be holding. And we'll see if that can continue to be the story.
Yeah, and it was nice to see the 4000 level hold in the S&P. And it is up for debate whether the consumers are going to be able to stay strong like this. But the retail sales numbers did come in stronger than people expected. And it seems like the market liked it and has had a bit of a rally. We've also had some of the pressure in China ease up on them opening up a little bit after their zero tolerance lockdown. So that's given the market a little boost today as well. I do think that it's interesting how much more focus, especially with this retail sales, but even just recently, there has been on company valuations. It seemed like for years we would ask people, hey, these valuations, they don't seem to make sense because they were inflated to the upside. And people said, it doesn't matter. Valuations don't really matter. But as the saying goes, valuations don't matter until they do. There does seem to be a lot more focus on where companies are trading and what their earnings capacity is and whether they even have revenues or not. For a while, that didn't matter. Do you think that we'll continue to see that there's going to be more of a focus on kind of the old school metrics in the marketplace?
I think that's the trade right now. And I think one of the, you know, the big earnings reports today, we saw Walmart, and Walmart is clearly a victim of inflation here. I think that Walmart noted, you know, they're seeing double digit inflation in food supplies. They're, you know, basically telegraphing they're going to be passing this along to the consumer. And when you take a look at their margins, you know, pressure from costs, from you know, commodity prices and oil and transport costs, everything is really impacting, you know, Walmart. And that's why you saw, I think, weakness across other, some of the other retail giants. And I think that's really going to weigh on, you know, the retail industry. And, you know, margins are just, it's just going to be really tough right here. I think that when you compare Walmart to, let's say, Home Depot, who had, you know, fairly strong results. And I think, you know, there's more optimism that, you know, you're looking at the consumer, that they've already committed their projects to, you know, fixing up their homes. And I think that you're probably, you know, if you haven't done that already, you know, you're looking at a 6-month wait to getting some major expansion done to your home property. So I think Home Depot just clearly still kind of riding the end of the peak of the housing market here. And this is one thing that, for margins and pricing pressure right now, I think you'll see that Home Depot is going to fare much better than Walmart. And that's why you're kind of seeing those stocks diverge today. But overall, these retail results, they show a bifurcated economy. And I think you're still, I mean, there's still a good part of the country that has a good amount in savings from, you know, all the stimulus that got pumped into the economy. And I think that there's still good short-term momentum here for the economy, and overall is why I think people are a little bit fairly upbeat right now, and that will probably continue, I think, throughout the summer.
So then, Ed, as we carry this through, it seems like a lot of sectors, almost every sector, has been dropping, except for the energy sector. And energy can actually support markets in a way, almost like tech drove markets higher. If the energy component does fall, whether there is a pullback in the war in Ukraine or less sanctions or whatever have you, or just a natural correction from the oil sector, do you see that drastically impacting the markets? Another major pullback for these markets if the energy component drops out?
Right now, I think for a large part of Wall Street, I think there's kind of this belief that we're stuck with elevated energy costs for the foreseeable future. And given the focus on geopolitics, you're still looking at a wide range for crude, and I think a lot of, you know, this higher energy cost has been priced in, and I think it's not really going to change. I think you're probably going to see that investors here are very focused on, you know, exactly, you know, like, will we see oil at $130? Because right now gasoline prices are at record levels. You're entering the peak driving season where and travel time where, you know, this is, costs are going to be expensive, and eventually that's going to lead to some crude demand destruction. So I think you're probably still looking at $100 oil for the rest of the year, and I think there's going to be more efforts to bring that down. In Europe, they're considering forming a cartel of consumers. Today, the idea was tossed that the U.S. was supporting the notion of, let's have a different strategy on Russian energy. Let's focus on tariffs instead of an embargo, which would really change the short-term supply outlook. And that's why, you know, you're seeing, you know, despite mostly green across all the risky assets, you know, oil is down modestly, and that's because, you know, there could be some ways where, you know, world leaders can get creative here in trying to, you know, punish Russia without, you know, killing their respective economies. So I think you're still looking at an oil market that will remain tight. You know, the lack of investment in new wells was done because of the pandemic, and you're going to see the big oil giants are focused on preserving their cash and delivering value to shareholders. So I don't anticipate we'll see a major shift in buybacks and dividends. So oil prices are going to be elevated. Economy has mostly priced that in. And right now there's still robust demand, especially as we enter the warmer months. And I think, you know, European travel has been pretty strong. And there's, I think, high expectations. The U.S. is going to have a very busy summer with travel across country and some people going international. That demand should be fairly supported here. And I think the return to the office, while that has taken a step backwards, you're still looking at, I think, an oil market that, for the most part, should remain tight for some time.
Yeah, Ed, the summer driving season is upon us. And with some people still hesitant to go international travel, there's probably going to be a lot more domestic travel and a lot more gas being burned to just hit the country. I know that when you try to book a hotel or try to get a rental car or try to go on a vacation to stay anywhere, it's very competitive right now. And it looks like it's that way all throughout the summer. So there is going to be a lot of people doing domestic travel for sure. Hopefully some more international travel. But there's also been chronic underinvestment in the oil and gas industry just from the ESG initiatives and a lot of firms being discouraged from investing in it. So how much of it do you think is maybe longer term, more than just, you know, the last 2 years in lockdown, but just structural problems in the oil and gas market where there's been chronic underinvestment, some would argue, for over a decade?
Well, yeah, and I think that you know, the ESG movement, that really was what kind of kickstarted this reason why there was so much of a departure of investment in these energy companies. I remember that covering Exxon and Chevron, like the media would seldom call me because everyone was fixated on other parts of the market. And when you saw just, you know, the weighting of the Dow, and you saw that energy just kind of got lost. And now I think everyone is realizing that the transition to clean energy was a little bit too optimistic. And, you know, the global economy is going to be reliant on crude for, you know, quite some time. I think you still have the majority of the world that is going to struggle going to clean energy. And the calls for ESG still remain. And you're going to see energy companies are going to be very hesitant into committing massive amounts of capital into new wells that will eventually get phased out in the next decade. You're right in focusing on that part of the story, because oil should be fairly supported. I think once the world is in a position where you're seeing normal activity, and whatever the new normal will be. So that's when, you know, we're no longer really worried about Chinese lockdowns, and you're really seeing travel behavior return to normal. And obviously it won't go back to what it was. I think the oil market is fairly an easy trade right now. I think, you know, 60 mid 60s is probably the low, target for a lot of energy analysts over the next few years. So, we're still dealing with a very tight market. And I think that it seems that there's been so many surprising risks that as far as, you know, where people were expecting, well, we could get more supplies from Iran or Venezuela, that never happened. Some traders anticipated that this was going to be a short war. It turns out this is being a lot longer. I think that you're really seeing that, U.S. production rigs have been going up. Production's not been doing much of anything. It's actually been flat to slightly lower in the last few weeks. And now this market is just, it's just going to remain tight. It's just simple supply and demand right now. And I think that's why even on down days, oil prices, they unless there's a, you know, a complete, you know, expectation that we're going to see a massive hit to the demand outlook, you know, oil should be fairly supported here. So that's why I think, you know, it seems like people are begrudgingly getting back into energy stocks, because I think the outlook is just, it's too good to be true for probably the next, you know, few years.
So is that the only market that's an easy trade right now, Ed? Because quite frankly, everything else has been hit pretty hard and has a long way to go to reach some of those recent highs, or at least get into a more bullish scenario. Sounds like you continue to be bullish on oil, but is there any other sector that you see a cleaner path forward and up in?
I think, you know, becoming more selective with big tech is an obvious one. Is my faith in Apple has it been, you know, pummeled? You know, obviously, when you have to warn investors that because of the supply chain issues in China, you know, you could lose, you know, several billions of dollars. You know, that's obviously, you know, a big red flag. But I think, you know, given some of these discounts, and I think that you're still probably going to see that, you know, 1, 3, 5 years down the road, you know, cloud is still one of the big parts that we'll see explosive growth. So, you know, targeting which, you know, cloud provider, whether you like Microsoft, whether you like Alphabet, you know, I think that the cloud focused FANG stocks are the ones that are going to probably do pretty well. There's some parts of I think with when you take a look at how I think a lot of people are becoming more defensive right now. The consumer is, I think, really going to be overall strong over the next 2 years. Even when we do have a recession, I think there's still a strong likelihood it's going to be a very short one. So I think,
Ed, why do you think that? Can you expand on that a little bit? Because everything that I'm seeing shows that the consumer is under a bit of pressure. Credit card debt is building. They're not getting the free money. Costs are rising for them. I'm seeing a different picture for the consumer right now.
I think one of the you know, and I hate to go into politics, but I think one of the things that you're going to see is that, you know, the once we get past the midterm elections, I think it's going to be fairly clear that heading into you know, the next presidential election, you know, Republicans will have the strong advantage. And I think what you're going to start to see is there's going to be this expectation that you're going to see easier. You're going to see a much more optimistic outlook for taxes. You're going to see that a lot of the fiscal support that has been pumped through the economy, you're going to see a lot of that get phased out. And the infrastructure spending will become the one thing that gets focused on. So I think what we're going to see is the labor market is going to work itself out. You know, eventually wages will go up so high that it will, you know, that will be the end of the boom. But right now, when you consider where we are as far as the economy, I think that you're probably going to see that because there's still a tremendous amount of support that is still in place, and even when, you know, we're talking, when the Fed raises rates another 250 basis points, I think that you're still in an environment here where the economy will moderate. But I'm still anticipating that we're probably going to see still 2% growth next year, overall, the market has really seen a major, I think, improvement with wealth amongst millennials. I think that is going to really spur you know, the strong consumer spending outlook that you'll probably see for the next decade. Overall with everything that we've seen as far as the way the Fed has been, the new members that are coming on board, and just overall I'm still looking at a Fed that looks mostly filled with doves, even though, you know, they're entering their rate hiking mode. You're probably going to see that this economy is going to probably still be fairly attractive, and I think that there's lots of structural problems with a lot of the other countries that will continue to see the focus with U.S. investment, and King Dollar will remain in place, and I think that you're probably going to see that's going to be one of the key drivers why I think this economy is going to fare pretty well.
All right, Ed, we'll wrap it up here. Thank you for your insights. A bit different than all the negativity that we've been hearing and a lot of gloom and doom that we've been hearing, actually, in terms of where the markets are going and where the consumer stands. Sounds like you are still putting a lot of faith in some political moves, too, to take it easier on the consumer. And, yeah, who knows where that job market's going to go if companies are even going to be able to raise wages as much as they need to or as much as the market is telling us they need to right now. Ed, thank you, as always, for your time. We'll chat next week, and who knows what we'll be talking about, but I do appreciate your slightly rosier picture than we've heard over the last couple weeks to months from some of our other commentators. Thank you for your time, Ed. Have a great rest of your week.
Thank you. You too.